atheists. Two atheists on the radio. Atheists do not believe in God. There's two ways to define atheists. Some people, yeah, and also jugglers, very important. Atheist jugglers. And there's this new study. I'm going to get right to this. Today's show is going to be, well, we'll cover South Park, and we'll talk about all the other stuff, the speed of sound, speed of light. We'll talk about John Lennon. We'll talk about everything. But major thing today is going to be atheism. The big study just came out in Minnesota, a study that I'm thrilled about. Because the study out of Minnesota really makes it very, very clear that the reason I'm not president of the United States of America is because I'm an atheist. It's not incompetence and unwillingness to work hard. That's not the reason. See, previously, I thought the reason I didn't grow up to be president was that I wouldn't be good at it, that I would suck at it, that I'm incompetent and crazy. Those are the reasons I thought I wouldn't be president. Turns out, it's not true. Turns out the reason I'm not president is that I'm an atheist. And Americans still have, I mean, I know that a lot of atheists listen to this big show, so I want to say this with a great deal of pride. So many people sent us this article from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And to show you the kind of cats and kitties that atheists are, they all put a positive spin on it. They all went, woohoo!
Yeah.
We beat the Muslims and the gays! We beat the Muslims and the gays! That's right, the study in Minnesota, University of Minnesota, was it?
Yep.
University of Minnesota called 2,000 people on the phone, asked them who they hated the most. Their answer was atheists. I don't trust them, don't like them, won't have them as president.
Least willing to allow their children to marry. Well, you know what? On that point, perhaps they're right. I'm going to go with them on this.
The least willing group that they want their child. So they would rather have their daughter marry a homosexual man than an atheist.
A Jew communist. Anything but an atheist.
A Muslim terrorist, a member of the Taliban has more acceptance. You know, and I just don't believe. We're at 866-313-3733. 866-313-free. If you want to call in and, I guess, you know, talk about how much you hate atheists, jump on the bandwagon.
Why not?
penradio@gmail.com. That's PENRADIO@gmail.com. Good morning, Lance Burton.
Good morning, Taylor. Hey, you know what? Lance's night vision goggles showed up yesterday.
Do they? Has he got them yet?
He's got them, yeah. He was playing with them last night. I think he followed me home. From a great distance.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, Lance Burton, we did this thing many, many years ago. We did a joke for Amazing Jonathan at a private party. And there was one press person there from Las Vegas paper. And he said he wanted to stay. We said, well, this is a private party for Jonathan, so it can't be reported on. This is a private party. And he said, oh, no, I'm not going to report on it. Well, it turns out he did report on it. And there was a little bit of trouble that came out of that. But we did a good-natured, all-in-fun ribbing of the crucifixion of Christ.
Sure.
And there was also a dwarf involved wearing angel wings, and they were sexual acts. All good-natured fun. And on the dais, it was a roast of Amazing Jonathan. It was Amazing Jonathan laughing like crazy. Blasphemy makes Amazing Jonathan laugh almost as much as another human being's pain. He loves blasphemy. He just eats it up. And Siegfried was there. And Siegfried was rather upset. Siegfried of Siegfried Roy, or if you want to know, Siegfried Fischbacher.
Wow.
Siegfried Fischbacher.
Where'd you get that? Where'd you find that?
I know Siegfried's last name.
Okay.
I refer to
you're the only person in the world.
I refer
you
to
know Siegfried's last name and Teller's first name. It's my bad.
I do. I refer to him as Mr. Fischbacher. I also thought that Siegfried and Roy should be called Fischbacher and Horn.
Wow. That's what we should be called.
Fischbacher and Horn.
Can we adopt that as
Fischbacher
our new name?
And Horn.
Fischbacher and Horn.
After we did this parody, good-natured ribbing of the crucifixion of the supposed Christ, Jonathan was laughing hysterically. Johnny Thompson was laughing. Mack King, although Mack King is very reticent about discussing his beliefs in public, he was giggling a little bit. I'm not gonna pull him out of the closet there. But Lance Burton was on stage looking terrified, looking like he was watching his life pass in front of his eyes. He looked like he was going to hell just for watching our little parody. And Siegfried stood up, and Siegfried Fischbacher stood up and said to Amazing Jonathan, you know Amazing Jonathan's
yes?
last name?
No.
It's not Fischbacher. He stood up and said in his German accent, "My sister is a nun." This was his way of saying, "I shouldn't be watching this." And Amazing Jonathan, who's a funny man, answered instantly, "Oh, good. When I was over your house, I thought I screwed a penguin." So,
oh, my.
We did that. We did that.
That's another foot down. Why is Lance worried about this?
So Lance said to me, it was the cutest thing in the world. After after that whole little event, and after there was some Catholic coalition jive or something that came out and wanted to boycott us, have us be not allowed in the Super Bowl. We were going to do a big prediction. We predicted the winning team and the score and the most valuable player in the Super Bowl. It was a nice trick. I forgot what network had it that year, but the there's this group called the Catholic League of Unextraordinary Gentlemen or something. It's one guy. You know, all these groups are one guy.
Yeah,
one loudmouth idiot, and like his wife. I would probably add the adjective battered, his battered wife.
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to say that I know that this guy's a wife beater. I'm just saying that living with a guy who is who's shooting his mouth off and just hating everyone, would probably be a kind of abuse to me. But certainly there haven't been. I'm not making any sort of statements about him. I didn't even say who he was because it doesn't matter much. But, I didn't give the real name of his organization because I don't know it. Anyways, it's four people in a
Everybody's
garage.
Everybody's last name, don't know this big organization that is opposed to you? Really?
It's not a big organization. It's like four guys.
Have you seen him? He's not a small man.
He also, we interviewed him on Bull's Hit.
Yes, we did.
He was on.
Yeah, of course. Of course, he was happy to come on the show.
Sure.
He's one I'll take the publicity.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be on TV, but I should.
But the network executive did the coolest thing ever. He sent this letter to all the press and to the network and said Penn and Teller should not be on the Super Bowl because they don't like me. That was his letter. They made fun of me, so take them off the Super Bowl. And they called up the big cheese at the network and asked him about the letter. And he gave the great... Remember this when you're in trouble. He gave the greatest answer ever. He said, I don't think we got that letter. That was his entire answer. Now, this was an interviewer who had the letter in his hand and was reading it aloud to him. And the answer was, I don't think we got the letter. So Lance Burton called me after this with the sweetest phone call ever, you know. And he said, you know, "Well, Pam," you know, it's like being called by Mr. Ed, you know.
How did he dial?
he called up and said, "Well, Pam, who are you? What do you want?" He called up and said, "You know, Pam, we're good friends. We've been friends for a long time, and our belief systems are different. And I just want you to know that if the Christians take over this country, I'll stick up for you and watch your back. And if the atheists take over, you stick up for me and watch my back." And it was just this great, great conversation. It was
That's
perfect
a real
Lance
friend.
Burton. It was perfect Lance Burton, yes. Absolutely. So we did this thing. So good morning, Lance, and good morning,
yes.
Teller. And good morning, Siegfried Fischbacher. And best of luck to you, Roy Horn. So there was this article on atheists out of the University of Minnesota. They called 2,000 people, random survey.
Sure it was.
Asked them who they hated the most. And the answer came back, atheists. Who do you hate the most? Atheists, atheists, rah, rah, rah.
And here we are on the radio saying we're atheists.
Yeah, sure.
So, we'll be off
that's
tomorrow.
Kind of people we are. And the figure they're using for American atheists is 3%. Now, the 3% figure is thrown around a lot, that 3% of Americans are atheists. I don't know about that figure, because if you ask people, you know, do you believe in a religion, the answer you get of no jumps up to about 20%.
Sure.
So there are some people that don't like the word atheist. Many people. There are people that use the word non-theist. There are people that use all sorts of, you know, naturalist. They use the word bright, you know.
Sure.
There's all sorts of terms that are used for atheists that isn't quite as bothersome and aggressive and in your face.
I think people saying agnostic generally mean atheist, but I don't want to fight with you.
Yeah,
I believe that's the literal translation.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think agnostic and all that. So you put all those together, it ends up at about 20%. But we'd like to take calls too. 866-313-FREE. Call up and tell us who you hate the most. Just tell us. Just call in and tell us who you hate the most.
You know, I want to point out that there's also a study out today, crunching numbers on a recent Pew poll. This is from Salon Magazine. Sullivan discovered that 50% of the people who describe themselves as secular say that torture is never or rarely justified. Only 49% of white Protestants and only 42% of Roman Catholics were similarly torture averse. In other words, if you're an American Christian, you're more likely to support torture than if you are an atheist or an agnostic.
But you blew right by those numbers. It was 50% and 49%,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, what's the margin of error on the poll?
Well, they didn't put that in here.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just bringing it up because clearly they're going to torture us when they catch us. When you do the math,
we are so hard to catch. You know, I want to, and you're not going to hear this much on the show, so turn up the radio right now. I'm going to say some stuff you're really not going to believe. I think that Christians are treated very, very unfairly by atheists. Very unfairly. I think Christians are trashed by atheists in ways that they should not be. I hear all the time, you know, I did my thing on McDonald's radio, NPR, about what this I believe.
Yeah.
And it was this I believe there is no God. And I did a very strong atheist statement. And very strong, and talked about how, you know, I love the world. I love the people of the world. I have a wonderful life. I have a wonderful daughter, the best wife in the world possible, the best family, my sister. I had the best parents ever. And how I'm totally...
Great radio co-host.
Totally,
left that out.
Great radio co-host.
Thanks.
I'm so full of love and joy every second that I don't want or need more, and there is no more. It was this whole thing. It was rather heartfelt. There weren't a lot of jokes. I think it was one joke in it. That's all. And we got a lot of letters, and the letters were overwhelmingly positive, like knocking on 100% positive. There were a few that said, you know, shut up, you fat loudmouth, you know, stuff like that. But very few of them. And the atheists would write these letters saying, oh, the Christians are going to get you. The Christians are going to rip you apart. This is horrible. This is horrible. And the letters I got from Christians were overwhelmingly the letters to NPR and the letters that came into our office and the people who talk with me after the show. Overwhelmingly, the Christians said, you know, I disagree with you. I am not an atheist. I'm a Christian. But I'm very glad you stated the point of view that way. I really loved hearing about your love of your family and how happy you are. And although I'm going down the path with Christ and you're going down without it, it was really nice to have the exchange of ideas. That was the overwhelming letter. You know, that was the letter that came in like crazy. And after our show, where, you know, our show is not an atheist show. I mean, our show at the Rio, the Penn & Teller show, there are three lines in the show that you will interpret to know that we are atheists. But there's no proselytizing. There's no bit that deals with atheism. And there's no monologue that deals with atheism. It just kind of slides by. But you can figure it out. And after the show, we take pictures with people and sign autographs and so on. And the people that come up are really, really nice. There are people that come up. I've had priests come up. I've had ministers come up. I've had all sorts of strong people in the lay people in the church. Church come up and identify themselves as that. You know, big honking crosses around their neck. I mean, big enough to actually nail a Jew to if they wanted to. Big crosses around their neck. And they are so open and so interested in the marketplace of ideas. So I do want to say that atheists tend to do this thing that fans of nut bands do. You know, when I was working with the Residents, the fabulous avant-garde band in San Francisco, I worked with them for a couple years, and you'd have fans going, you know, my friends hate this music. They think it's just noise. They hate it, hate it, hate it. And they go on and on and on like that because they really don't want to be liked. They really don't want to fit in. And that's part of the cool of being a fan of certain bands. And I'm afraid that sometimes atheists fall into that as well and want to be persecuted. Because this is the most self-selected sample possible, because people have just paid, $85 to come see my show. Obviously, people that hate me are not going to drop that coin. So it's very, very self-selected. But the letters, people that listen to NPR, very open, very good. So I just want to say to the atheists, really be careful and don't make up a jack story, you know? Don't make up that people hate you when they really don't. Because I've had very good, I've been out of the closet as an atheist for, 30 years, 35 years?
Yeah.
And I've been hit, I guess, from my lack of religious belief, I've been hit twice. Both times by women, both times of women who are drunk, both times after the show by Christian women who slapped me in the face. One slapped me in the face and one punched me in the face. Not particularly hard. But one of them came up and said, my minister says that there's no such thing as an atheist. And I responded, well, that's yet another thing your minister's wrong about.
Wow! Wonder why she hit you.
And I was hit in the face. I also want to say about this lowest group that we just did a Bulls hit on numbers. And one of the things we covered was polls.
Polling, yes.
And polling, you can get the answer you want. We watched this guy, this scumball. Do you remember his name?
Frank Luntz.
Frank Luntz?
Luntz.
We filmed Frank Luntz, who's an absolute pure, unadulterated scumball. And when the Newt Gingrich Republican Revolution took over...
the Contract with America.
Contract with America.
Yes.
All that stuff. He was the one that did all the polling for how much they agreed. And we filmed him. Actually taped him. Film's too expensive for our show. We taped him on the street interviewing people to get the answer he wanted for the poll.
Yeah, it was impressive.
And he would ask the question, and this is not to different people. He would ask the same question to the same person twice with slightly different wording and get a different answer for the same question. So I don't know about the poll in Minnesota. They may have tried really, really hard to eliminate bias. But the fact is that atheists have this persecution thing. They think they're in trouble. So they might have actually been talking to atheists who would say they wouldn't trust atheists just because the guy on the phone might think less of them. Now, I don't know anything about this poll. I can't disparage it. But I will disparage polls in general, because the numbers are really, really sloppy. We remember that the last presidential election, don't we? The numbers were all over the place.
A little sloppy.
A little sloppy. 866-313-FREE, 3733, penradio@gmail.com. I got a couple funny stories to tell, I hope. I hope that you find them funny. A lot more to talk about with atheists being the most hated group. And call up after the break and tell us what group you hate the most. Benjamin Cosmos. Okay, this is Ben Gillette, 866-313-FREE, 3733. We're just maggoty with calls about atheism. We're going to get to those, penradio@gmail.com. But I want to, this is Vegas. I'd report on Vegas. The Vegas odds on Isaac Hayes becoming a cast member on The Surreal Life are now at 7-5. So if you want to bet on that, remind me, Michael Gudeau, please.
Yes.
Please remind me to never piss off Trey and Matt. Did you see the South Park last night?
Bear killed Jeff.
Some people have TiVo'd it and haven't watched it yet. I mean, I have never seen it. Of course, they're very kind to Chef. It's just his fruity little club they attack over and over again. But man, when you piss off Trey and Matt, they really... dead pedophile, brainwashed. And it was great how they sampled his voice and made it sound so chopped together. It was like a ransom note. It was like the cover of Nevermind the Bollocks by the Sex Pistols. There's a lot of news today. The Basque guerrilla group, ETA, has announced a permanent ceasefire in its 40-year campaign to create an independent state between Spain and France. members of the group are looking forward to pursuing solo terrorist projects. So that's really good news. They're branching off. You know, you're in a band for a while, then you want to branch off and do your solo terrorist projects. A study by the National Institute of Health claims that drugs cure depression in half of the patients with the disease, a claim disputed by the American Association for Depression, which says that drugs fail to cure depression in half of the patients with the disease. So there's a lot of good news. A lot of good news. Phil Spector's murder trial has been postponed until September so he can finish assembling his wall of lawyers. Did you see Phil Spector's hair?
I did.
Oh, it's great.
He's clearly going to be working in Cats. Is he going to be Rum Tum Tugger? Isn't that...
Rum Tum Tugger? Is that the one with the big hair?
I think that's the one with the big hair.
That big gray afro.
Yeah.
Phil Spector, man, he's crazy. Prince, you know, Prince, a lot of news about him painting that basketball house that he's renting purple. You know, Nate Santucci, who's running for councilman or something here in Vegas on the Libertarian ticket. Nate Santucci was with me when we did the show with Prince, and I was talking to him last night, and we were reminding each other about me not being able to stand near him, ostensibly because I was so tall. Also, Prince's bodyguard ran over to Nate Santucci, who was holding a digital camera, and said, "I'm going to take the camera away from you. The artist formerly known as Prince does not want any pictures taken of him." And Nate Santucci says, "I haven't taken any pictures of him, and I wouldn't take any pictures of him if you paid me." And pulled his camera back. So that's the kind of man we want in the government.
Well, Nate's just beginning a fight with Prince because it's the only guy he's taller than. You, yeah, I'm talking to you.
That may be the case. And also in the news, and this is pretty funny. A stage version of The Lord of the Rings opens tonight in Canada. The lone American in the cast has accused the producers of Tolkienism. I don't know. That made me laugh a lot. One other thing made me laugh a lot. I don't know. The European Union has finally placed tariffs on imported shoes from China and Vietnam. The news has gone largely unreported in the U.S. as few newscasters here can talk about duty on shoes without giggling. Go ahead, try to say duty on shoes without giggling. I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff in the news. Robbie Libben, who works at the Ben and Teller Show, reported all that news. Very, very funny.
Our reporter on the street, Robbie
Libben.
He's
a reporter. He reads the newspapers carefully.
Our reporter in his living room.
He's a reporter in his living room. I think he sits down with the newspapers and with his computer over breakfast, and he sometimes writes us a little note, and some of those killed me. I was watching Happy Jack as I was reading him. He didn't seem to like some of them. Did you get them all? Some of the jokes you didn't get. I just think he didn't get some of the jokes.
Tolkienism.
What did he say?
Tolkienism. That's what I was trying to help him. Like, you know, the guy who wrote it, his name is...
Tolkien. And tokenism would be just using... You understand. Okay, good.
We
can go through them one by one and explain them. Did you get the ETA going off to solo terrorist projects? Because a lot of times band members split up and do their own solo album. Never mind.
I think the one that you had the problem with was the 50% one.
It's 50% are cured of depression, but if you're depressed, 50% aren't cured. See, it's the half-empty, half-full glass thing. What phone call?
Line 12, please. Let's talk to Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Steve's got a good story for us.
Hey, Steve.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Very well, boss. How are you?
Love your show. All right. My last name is very similar to that word agnostic, and I went to Catholic school for 12 years, so you can imagine what I went through.
What is your last name?
Agnosticus.
It's Greek.
It's a Greek name, right?
What? Yeah, Greek.
Yeah.
So it's a shortened version. My father shortened it by two letters.
Okay.
And it was Anagnosticus.
What did the nuns say at the Catholic school?
Oh, I was a devil. Forget it. They tortured me. That's why I am why I am.
And how are you?
No, I'm okay.
Are you agnosticos?
I love when you have Randy on. You got to get a psychic on there when Randy's there, and you got to do a thing on him.
You know how hard it is? Do you know how hard it is to get a psychic to be in the same room with Randy? It's almost impossible. You know,
well, you got to get Randy there in disguise.
As Santa.
Santa. Who do you disguise Randy as? He's bald with white hair and a beard. I guess you could put a wig on him and dye his...
A red suit.
But the problem is, of course, that no psychic is going to come near me. When we shoot Bull's hit, we can't have me anywhere near.
I'm losing you, man.
What's that?
I'm losing you.
Okay, man. Well, thanks a lot, Agnostico. Is it Agnostico?
Agnostico.
It sounds like a superhero.
Agnosticus,
who shows up at crime scenes.
Someone
and goes...
Someone make that cartoon for us, please.
I don't know. I don't know. Could have robbed the bank, maybe. Agnosticus! Take another phone call.
Which guy has your wallet? let's go with line 8. We have John on line 8.
Hey, John, what's up, man?
Hi, Penn. Hi, Mike. How you guys doing?
Very well, great. Boss. How are you?
Good, good. You know, we were going into the atheist stuff again here today.
Yeah, often.
Yeah, I'm thinking about opening up a atheist deprogramming camp to get you guys cured.
Oh, get us cured. What religion are you, sir?
I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian?
And what I figured what we'd do is we'd strap you to chairs.
Okay.
Super glue your eyelids open.
Okay.
And we'll make you watch old videos of Rex Humbard and any other evangelist we can come across for, 400 or 500 hours.
And that would give us a vision of hell.
It would make you believe.
Uh-huh.
And then every once in a while, we'll have one of the guys come through and lengthen whoever has short legs.
What?
Oh, you've probably never
supporting
seen that
torture.
Not watching religious programming, right?
Yeah, but you are a Christian, and you think that atheists can be turned around?
You know, I'm not a Bible thumper. I think people that have questions, I'm more than willing to talk with them about it and uh-huh. give them my belief.
As long as you super glue their eyelids open.
You know, I can't say I hate atheists because there will be one day where I won't have to associate with them.
Would you elect an atheist if an atheist had all the political views you wanted for our country? Would you vote for an atheist for president?
Yes, I would. I believe I'd vote for whoever I thought was the best man for the job.
Uh-huh. Or woman, I assume.
Or what?
Well, let's not go that far.
Okay. You'd vote for the best man or woman for the job. Is that
and
right?
I also wanted to talk to you about the John Lennon thing.
Sure, shoot, man.
You know, I am the one that you should allow to watch the John Lennon seance.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, I do have some psychic ability.
You do?
Yeah, I emailed Godot about this a couple weeks ago. I have actually been blocking Sylvia Brown's psychic powers for over 300 days now. And, you know, I'm getting a little tired, so I want you to pass this along to Randy for me.
Okay.
If I lapse, I'm afraid she'll call and she'll get the $1 million first.
So your claim to Randy, this is a great one, is you have the psychic ability to stop other psychics from being able to function. Is that right?
Just Sylvia Brown.
Just Sylvia Brown.
You know, when I was younger and my powers weren't quite so well, I used to block the amazing Kreskin. And then as my psychic powers grew, I realized there's just nothing in there.
We will look again at your application. Thanks so much for calling, man. Thank you. You know, we've got a lot of great applications to do the John Lennon thing. There's people writing in. We had one guy who wrote in who I think is top of my list right now is the guy who wrote in and said, if you want a fair, open-minded reporting of the John Lennon seance, don't go with me. If you want a cynical guy to laugh his ass off, I'm your man. He's the one I like most. He's also the guy who was bass player for Anthrax.
Yeah, in 1981.
In 1981.
Paul.
He was fired from Anthrax. He would like to do it. What I love about the band Anthrax, I was a big fan of Anthrax back about that time, actually.
Right.
I think I probably, the Anthrax records I have probably have Paul playing bass. And I liked Anthrax then, but when there was the Anthrax scare in the country after 9/11,
yeah, I remember that.
I believe, the lead guy in the band Anthrax said they were considering changing their name to Basket Full of Puppies, which I just thought was the greatest joke. The only thing bad about it was they didn't change their name. It wasn't Basket Full of Puppies, formerly Anthrax. As you can tell by the calls we took, we're talking to anybody, 866-313-3733, penradio@gmail.com. We'll be back. Lots more to talk about. During the break, we're going to explain those jokes to Happy Jack. We'll be back. For those of you who love Big Mike Jones music at the top of the show, Jones is going to be going and getting us a lot more music. I'm taking a little samples, going to get different versions done, put some different instruments in, so you can hear the Mike Jones big band playing different stuff on the show. Pendulette theme. I think I'm going to keep the Pendulette theme the same because I like it so much. But he will put other parts of it in different solos and so on. So we'll hear different music from Mike Jones. If you want to hear a lot of different music from Mike Jones, really do, go to Amazon and look up Mike Jones. And the funny thing is that there's a very famous rapper from Texas, hip-hop guy named Mike Jones. And so you want to make sure you get the piano trio and solo stuff by R. Mike Jones, because he often gets things to his website, you know, jonesjazz.com, that are from rappers who are disappointed with his CD. Why don't you bring the crunk again? You know, stuff like that. Boy, you don't bring the crunk like you used to. What's with this piano stuff? They think it's the same guy. Because, you know, you wouldn't think Mike Jones would be a common name in the United States of America. But if you're going to get the Mike Jones records, make sure you get the same one, the right ones. I'm going to read a whole letter. I know you usually read the letters, but I really like this one because it... because it makes my point about atheists thinking Christians are out to get them and how many are really sensible. I'm going to read this whole letter, but I have to make some word substitutions because there's a little bit of obscenity in it. And I hate to misquote people, so I will be misquoting the two times that I use baby talk instead of what you would expect from an adult. Those are my words, not this person. I think it's him. It's titled Atheism and Shoot, which is not the actual word. This topic, she is too big for a mere hour show. With that said, I'm going to throw in a quick ass kiss before I reveal whom I hate the most. I'm really digging the radio show. Oh, and I'm also going to tell a pointless story. I saw the big Penn and Teller show for the first time ever around Thanksgiving. A buddy of mine had taken me as an early Christmas gift when I was in town. It shouldn't matter, but we were both Christians. He being a very devout Catholic, ash on the forehead and all that, and me... well, let's just say I love God, but I hate people, so I don't go to church. Anyhow, the subject of you having somehow offended my buddy's boss at the time came up briefly with the explanation that you're, surprise, an atheist. Am I spelling that right? There was a brief silence after he said that, which I broke by saying, I don't really care, as long as you can make my dumbass laugh. Already a long story short. Since seeing your show, I hate to admit it, but I've become a weird stalker of sorts, completely fascinated by your point of view, etc., watching as many Bulls Hit episodes as I can, reading Sock, and also finally checking out that NPR thing you did. That liberal filter is pretty effing weird. I hate to say it, but you're a better person than I am. You've decided that it's best to be a good person without the belief in God. I require the watchful eye of Jesus upon me to do the right thing. It's my crutch, I guess. Anyhow, I am filled with a searing hatred not for atheists, but for those who would claim to believe in God and claim to be Christians, all the while participating in horribly bigoted and non-Christian-like things, like that dirty, dirty church in Topeka. That's who I hate, Fred Phelps, the Klan, etc. I'd kill them if it weren't a sin, that is. Thanks, D. Knight. That is pretty much the reaction I get mostly as an atheist. That's the one that I get much more than the one that, you know, we're going to get you. It's much more people just saying, you say this, I say this, you have a nice marketplace of ideas. Is there another phone call you want to take?
Yeah, there is, but just okay. Your wife sent us an article from Sweden's News in English. Bosses at a Stockholm hospital have asked a nurse called Jesus to change his name. after concerns it might cause confusion among patients. According to Jesus, an auxiliary nurse at Huntington Hospital, his superiors were worried that patients told Jesus will be coming soon might get the wrong idea.
That's not a real article. That's from The Onion or something.
That's from Sweden's News in English, the local.
That's
Jesus
fabulous.
Is coming soon.
Jesus is coming soon. 866-313-3. That's 3733. Penradio@gmail.com. Do you have a...
Yeah, let's go to line 10. This is Eric.
Line 10, Eric. How you doing, boss?
Good morning, Pen. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, man.
I love that intro every day. You know?
Oh, thanks, man.
I find it sort of ironic that people that obviously have at least a fleeting casual relationship with organized religion would say we hate anybody when really that's the whole point of religion, is not to judge anybody and really not to hate anybody either.
Wait a minute. Where are you getting this information? The point of religion is to hate people with different religions. I mean, if you've read the Quran or the Bible or the Torah, they all say that those who do not accept the real God are heathens and infidels and should be at least banished, if not punished. There's no idea behind religion of acceptance. If anything, the idea of acceptance is an American secular idea.
Well, but yeah, when you think in terms of Old Testament, but really, if you break it down into New Testament and Jesus and forgiveness and turning the other cheek,
but you just
that's
said
a very that's a very non-hate sort of philosophy.
But you just said the purpose of religion in general. It's certainly not the purpose of religion in general. And there are many scholars, and I'm not able. I mean, I've read the New Testament a couple times, but I'm not able to quote it. But there's certainly a lot of he who does not accept me will have everlasting suffering. There certainly is a lack of everlasting life. There certainly is a turning away from those who are heathens recommended by the New Testament, isn't there?
Hey, Ken, I'm getting a lot of, like, back voice there. Am I hearing something other than you?
I don't know, man. If it's a bad phone line, we gotta take someone else. I'm so sorry, man.
It's probably Satan. I
like talking to this guy, but I guess if we can't hear, we can't hear. So we're gonna be moving on. I liked him. He was a good guy.
You know that the Afghan Christian is facing death, and he's talking about how religions are supposed to.
Okay, are we still on?
He's back.
What about?
You would think the New York guys would have hung up when you said that, but I guess not.
Hello.
Are you hearing us okay?
Now clearly he's not.
Hello, are we still together here?
Well, it's hard to tell, isn't it?
It's very hard to tell. We're going back and forth. I do want to talk about this for a second. I guess everybody knows this. This isn't like we're giving news, but there's a guy in Afghanistan who is on trial for his life. He could be put to death because in a Muslim country, in a theocracy, he has said that he's a Christian.
Well, it's not from saying it's a Christian. It's from being a Muslim and then deciding to be a Christian.
So you could be a Christian if you start out Christian.
Yeah, you're not allowed to switch.
Not allowed to switch. You have to stay
with
it.
It's
been
really good for their ball teams. You can't switch who you're following.
So he could be, and they're trying to do this weasel thing where they're going to declare him mentally incompetent. So that he's mentally incompetent, so he can't be put to death for being a Christian. Which is, I think, were I a Christian, which, of course, if I am a Christian, shoot me. But if I were a Christian, I would be more upset that being mentally incompetent, being proven by being a Christian, allows you to live. It just seems... And he was busted for having a Bible in his home, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very, very V for Vendetta. You know, the guy's busted for having the Quran. And Bush is in an odd position because Bush is kind of a supporter of Afghanistan, and now he's also a Christian, and it's going to get very, very messy. When you are part of that team, when you have a dog in the fight, when you aren't religious, it gets really tough. You know, for atheists, it's really simple. If you want to believe in Christ, please go ahead, have yourself a good time. That's American atheists. There have been other atheists in history.
There right?
In communist and socialist countries who didn't have quite the enlightened view that American atheists have about people's belief. But I do want to say again, I couldn't believe more in freedom of religion. I do believe that people should have the freedom to worship in any way they want, any time they want, but it shouldn't be mixed in with the government. That's all we ask.
And yet the Christians seem to think that that's a better idea, that Christians should be involved in the government, and this kind of story is what happens when you have religion involved in government.
Yeah, for those who think that religion and government's a good idea.
Well, there you go.
There you go. There's that thing. You know, I wanted you to do the speed of sound thing. The other day on the radio, I talked about how I went to see a space launch.
Yeah.
And that you see three miles off, you see this huge explosion.
Yeah.
And then you have time to actually say, I thought there would be some, no, and then it hits you in the chest. And
right.
I had contended that the comedy timing was defined as the difference between the speed of light and the speed of sound at sea level. Over a 3 mile period. And a guy sent in.
Comedy's faster if you're up higher in a plane.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot faster.
Okay. And what he sent in, and you can do this in Google. Google's killing me. You know, Google's the most amazing company. And they're killing me because you can just type in. What did the guy type into Google?
3 miles divided by the speed of sound at sea level. Minus 3 miles divided by the speed of light. And he has 14.18 seconds.
So you said, off the top of your head, you said 3 seconds.
I said 3 seconds, and apparently it's about 3 seconds a mile, 4 seconds a mile.
Yeah. So it's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
And it was really, really funny. The thing that kills me on Google is he didn't type in what the speed of sound was. He typed in the words "speed of sound at sea level," which kills me. That Google, you know, and I've had questions like that where you just type in any way you want to figure it, and it just bangs out the answer. I mean, the kind of scientists they have there are really amazing. You know, we've got new suits, we've got new everything going in the Penn & Teller show.
Really?
Yesterday afternoon, I was posing for billboards. And do you know how many people it takes to take? I mean, there's about 20 people in the room there. And when I sit in this position, there's like two women who tug on my clothes to get all the wrinkles out. And then there's another person, two people behind the camera, who say, smile a little bit, a little more, a little less, a little more, a little less, perfect. Pull his sleeve out a little bit, touch up his nose. And then on top of all that, they're going to Photoshop it. We have new suits, we have everything. And I have a I was going to tell a story that happened last time we got new suits, but I don't think I have time. We're kind of winding down. What I want to cover today, keep writing in and telling us why you should be the one. I would like nobody listening to this show to watch the John Lennon seance on April 24th. Just don't watch it. It's going to be a complete and utter evil ripoff. Doesn't have the Lennon estate or anything behind it. But I want one person, and I'll pay for it, to watch the Lennon thing. We'll give them tickets to the Penn & Teller show, tickets to the Lance Burton show. Happy Jack will serve them donuts when they come in here from Krispy Kreme, raspberry glazed. We'll get a limo to drive them in. We'll take care of them. Take care of you. If you're in Vegas, that's fine. If you can get to Vegas, that's fine. But April 25th, we'll have you on the show. We will interview you on the John Lennon thing. So you're going to have to take notes. You're going to be able to answer every question. Maybe you should be able to pick out whatever song John Lennon transfers across the great void on a guitar. But if you want to do that, write in a Gmail to pennradio@gmail.com and tell us why you're the one. We've already got like a lot of people that are really qualified. So come in really strong and hard. Offer more. We'll also be throwing in other stuff. We'll get T-shirts, DVDs, everything else. This is Penn Jillette, Michael Goudeau. You know, on some level, we love you all.